Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Here we are. Welcome to My Michelle Live. We are looking at entertainment review today. So today on My Michelle Live, we're going to be looking at movies that you may want to get involved in. You might want to watch. You might want to ignore. You might want to find out if there's more to it than meets the eye. We're going to take all of that on with the one and only Adam Holtz. In fact, he even has his own soundbite.
I'm pretty cool. Plugging you into the movies, this is Adam Holtz.
Tell my children. Tell my, you know, I'm always tempted to dance and groove along with the music. Somewhere in the back of my head is the voice of my children saying, "Dad, stop dancing. Stop. And so yeah. I just sit there and put on my dad face, you know?
I see that pained look on your face. Once we get past that, the rest of the interview is smooth sailing, lots of fun. But that pain few seconds of she's dancing.
No, and then the funny thing is I absolutely love to dance, but I do get a little bit self-conscious if I start doing this. I'm like, oh yeah, actually I look maybe exactly like what my kids say that I look like, which is
dance like nobody's watching. That's dance one of my like mottos.
Nobody's watching. That's right.
And hopefully no one is. Today we're going to be talking about some new film, at least one new film that is out there. And maybe revisit a few older ones. I've been doing some traveling, of course, and one of the places that I traveled to was a three-movie venture. So that's this is how I measure.
Did you go to the moon? Yeah. Were you up with what's his face on the rim of outer space floating around?
Right. Think about it. If you're going from Seattle to Miami, there's not a further corner that you could fly to.
That's a long way.
So I finally got to watch Luca.
What'd you think?
Well, if you are watching Luca for a charming, entertaining, fun family film, you should do it. If you're watching Luca because you're a science-minded person and you want to know how a sea monster who comes out of the water loses scales and suddenly it turns into a button-down shirt and sneakers, this is not for you.
Right. I mean, it's like it's sort of like when I was watching F9 in my moment. You know, I could deal with Fieros in space. I could deal with all kinds of stuff. But when these two cars came together, two Toyotas, and did this magnetic thing with this huge bus thing in the air, I'm like, no, I own two Toyotas and I know the brakes. I know they're not. And that was where my suspension of disbelief completely failed.
Well, this is as far as family shows are concerned, Luca's great. It's one of those new ones out. We've talked briefly about Black Widow in past weeks, and we'll revisit that again for the reason that some people are going to purchase it, because you have to, on top of having your Disney subscription, it costs just a little bit more, not quite free yet. We're going to see Cruella should be coming up as viewable pretty soon as well. So it's
And if you want to view it, don't pay for it. Wait for it.
Okay. You know, I watched Cruella.
Yeah.
And it is spectacularly done. I mean, it is so entertaining, so well acted. The story is so good. It's funny. It's really well done. But it takes Disney into a new territory it has never been before. And you're left, no kidding. If you don't know that the Disney name's on it, you go, okay, that's a good movie. There's some big problem elements where morality is concerned.
Let's go watch Suicide Squad now, because that was what it reminded me of.
Ta-da. I mean,
moral vacuum at the heart of it that was really disturbing to me.
And a change from someone to the worse. That's sad. It was not like watching Maleficent, where I thought and see if you're watching or viewing, if you felt this too. When I was watching Maleficent, I was like, what are they messing with? You know, are they going to say good is bad and bad is good? What's going to happen right here? You know, because she was, I mean, she is an evil creature.
Right. And when they cut her wings off, oh my word, that's a dark scene.
It is very dark. But boy, the redemptive message, yeah, the beauty of that, I thought it was a good turn for Disney, yeah, to show that bad is bad, but do we always understand, you know, how a person, it's not just, oh, look, the little girl in the pretty dress is always good, you know, or, you know, the prince is always, you know, charming and wonderful, that there's more to the story. And I think that for those of us who like to go to the deeper story, the God story, that's the truth. There is none, yeah, righteous, no, not one, the Bible tells us. None are righteous, no, not one. So that deeper story is good. But when you watch Cruella, it did take Disney to a dark Suicide Squad place that is shocking. Shocking.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it completely overwhelmed everything you said. It's a fun movie to watch if you kind of check your brain at the door and don't think about it. But the second you engage with where it ends up, it's like, oh man, I don't want to romanticize I don't want to go
or
there.
A mother who wants her child dead, or, you know, all of these things. Yes, there were some good elements of good people in there too. So you can pull out whatever you can. You know, you have a colleague that we tease, Paul Acey, who can, we say he can, yes, spiritualize burnt toast. So I'm right. sure he can.
And he's going to get to do that next week, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, yeah.
I'll try to burn some toast for him. I'm sure that Paul Acey can find a way to spiritualize the message of Cruella, so you come out going, wow, that's a Bible lesson right there for the rest of us. So talking about family films, Luca, that's a darling film. It's worth a watch with family. It's not a big in-depth, you know, Academy Award winner. It's just a cute little film. But what we really wanted to get to this week, and we'll, is Space Jam, which is the second iteration of Space Jam, A New Legacy. Touch on Black Widow, because how long is it until Black Widow is out to the rest of us?
Oh, it's a while. I mean,
all right, then we can just move on.
Theaters now, but it's either 60 or 90 days before it'll be free on Disney Plus.
Yeah. So we can talk more about that in coming weeks. So let's just get to the big one, Space Jam. It's your jam. It's your jam. Yeah.
So first, a confession. Don't even bother asking me if I thought it was better or worse than the first one, because somehow I missed the first one. So I'm just going to...
What are we doing here?
I'm going to try to fake it.
What are we doing here?
So I know the overall storyline, you know, Space Jam in 1996, Michael Jordan, Bugs Bunny and company play basketball against aliens, hence the space and the jam in the title. So I went into this one. This was one of those movies that it feels like a blatant money grab to me. Let's take something that people liked a generation ago and, you know, put a new fresh coat of paint on it with, you know, somebody who's relevant today, that being LeBron James, currently of the LA Lakers. And I'm neither here nor there with LeBron James. I'm agnostic as to his celebrity and whether he or Michael Jordan are the greatest of all times. But in terms of basketball, so all that to say, I didn't have a dog in this fight. I walked into it as a very neutral reviewer. Okay. Straight up loved this movie, Michelle.
Really?
It was one of the most lovely, pleasant surprises of the year for me. And it has a couple issues that we need to talk about. I don't think they're deal killers. One of them is a sort of mild disappointment. And the other is not even a disappointment. It's just like, really? Did you have to do that? But it's not an issue that kids are even going to realize what's going on. But before I talk about those caveats, though, let me talk about the movie. This is a movie that's built on two intertwining plot points. LeBron James has a couple of sons. His older son loves to play basketball. His younger son, Dominic, who's maybe 12, 13, he's right on the cusp of that tween teen transition. He doesn't love basketball. He loves making video games, and he is devoted to becoming a video game maker, artist.
How cool that you would know that at 12, you know, because at 12, right. I just wanted to eat ice cream and, you know, go see a baseball game.
Huh. Yeah. So clearly dad, who is the current living greatest of all time or playing greatest of all time basketball player, dad's not real happy and son feels kind of disenfranchised. So they're kind of in a rough spot. There are two or three or four or five kind of bizarre plot turns. The upshot is they end up in the computer servers, kind of think Tron, if you will, if you're old enough to remember Tron, of the Warner Brothers studio system. And there is a guy named Al G. Rhythm, get it? Played by Don Cheadle with maniacal glee. Don Cheadle is fantastic in this role. He's a very nappy dresser, and he is a he is an algorithm that has it going on, and he wants full credit for the fact that he's doing incredible things behind the scenes for Warner Brothers, but nobody knows he exists. So he kidnaps LeBron's son, kidnaps LeBron, kidnaps their whole family, and then manages to beam in all of LeBron's fans on social media. So somewhere between hundreds of thousands and millions of fans are suddenly trapped in cyberspace, and he basically says, all right, you're going to do what I want you to do, and the only way out is to beat my team in cyberspace, which, as it turns out, are a bunch of slightly creepy basketball player characters that his son has made for his game. Whoa. So they pair off against each other. His son is on the bad guys team for a while. It's a great movie. And by great, I don't mean like, you know, Chariots of Fire, not Oscar grade. What I loved about it is it emphasizes the importance of fatherhood, of being engaged, of hard work, of intentionality. And LeBron has to realize and admit that he has made mistakes in the way he's raising his son, and that he needs to learn to value who his son actually is and not who he wants him to be. And I think all of us as parents probably at some point face that tension one way or another. I loved it. I couldn't even believe how much fodder it gave me as a dad to think about. And it launched my son and I, my son's 14. We had a terrific conversation on the drive back from Denver to Colorado Springs, just about what are you passionate about? What makes you want to work hard? What are we giving our lives to? So great discussion starter. The two caveats are there's some language which just feels completely out of place to me in a movie aimed at kids. And it's that's the H word, it's the D word. It's not like the end of the world kind of stuff. At one point, one of these animated characters says, son of a glitch. And you can't hear that and not hear the other thing. No, right.
But it is clever when you're thinking of
algorithms and stuff. It's clever. There's no doubt about it. I don't know.
It's not necessary. Do you remember back with Spy Kids? Shiitake mushrooms. You know, it was like
shiitake mushrooms. Yeah.
It's like
or that dog breed that sounds like what the dog does in the yard. You know, sort of thing. Anyway, I digress. The other thing that was an annoyance to me is they're in the Warner Brothers servers. So mixed in among LeBron's fans in the audience is like every Warner Brothers franchise character ever, which is cool when we're talking about flying monkeys, when we're talking about King Kong or Batman, or even Jim Carrey's The Mask, which starts to get a little bit more edgy. And then we've got the White Walkers from Game of Thrones. We've got The Matrix. We've got the three guys from A Clockwork Orange, for heaven's sake. I'm like, really? Throw A Clockwork Orange in here? Kids aren't going to know who most of those people
are. So it's mostly...
You know, you're trying to throw the adults a bone, but the adult kind of cranky.
All right. Yeah, I did watch the original, and I loved it. I just, yeah. I loved it. And so it's hard for some of us to imagine that anyone could compare to how Michael Jordan played his role. And the charm of that. I mean, yeah. it was amazing.
Well, I think LeBron is pretty likable here. They have sort of meta jokes at his expense throughout the movie. Like at one point he says, "I'm leaving." And another character says, "Well, yeah, you would know something about leaving, wouldn't you?" You know, because he's been on multiple teams. And and so he takes the whole King James thing and gently pokes fun at it in a way that lets me know LeBron's in on the joke. And at least in this movie, he doesn't take himself too seriously. At one point, he's in a pitch meeting for Warner Brothers. They want to use him as a spokesman before he gets sucked into the computer. And he says, "Nah, movies with athletes never work well." You know, it's stuff like that where there are these sort of, you know, winks at the camera that everybody knows what's going on and they're having
fun. Okay. Well, that's kind of fun. That's kind of fun. Now, yeah. I have to ask, does Bill Murray make an appearance? Because if Bill Murray doesn't make an appearance, then it's not quite as cool as Space Jam 1.
I don't know. Bill Murray's not there.
Okay, well.
Unless he's digitized in the background somewhere and I missed him.
Okay, I'll be paying attention.
A lot of characters in the background. Like, I spent most of my time with the group shots scanning to try to find, okay, who's that? Which in its own way is kind of fun.
Well, there you go. So Space Jam is a winner. Where can we watch it?
You can see that in theaters and also on HBO Max.
Okay. Theaters, HBO Max. There you go. And for the rest of us, just wait a little while. It will be there. Something that you can watch if you're a Disney Plus person is Loki. And so yes. Have you been following Loki?
Okay. Here's my true confession. I know just enough to be dangerous. I have seen the first episode. Okay. So
I don't even know if that makes you dangerous, you know?
I actually, because I'm a nerd and a wonk, I have been reading the story summaries and I know what happens, even though I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. So. Well, all I can say, yes, there's some, it's well done, which we're finding most of these series really are. Of the series that have been presented on Disney, like the WandaVision, Mandalorian, even
Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah. Oh, dark and a grown up, but very good. And then even a series like The Mighty Ducks, maybe not my favorite. And I will say that there's elements of nepotism that I didn't even, or not nepotism, of self-love. What is that? Narcissism. But sorry.
If your dad gets you a job and you like yourself, you've got nepotism and narcissism.
Yes. Oh, there you go. There you go. That's right? Clever. Yeah. Narcissism to a whole new level. But it is charming to a degree, and seeing once again, like we talked about with the Maleficent issue, seeing the good side, the human side, the self-discovery, I have a problem and here's why. Some of that is pretty interesting. So
I'm not far enough to comment a lot, but what I loved about the first episode, and I am a sucker for this in movies and TV shows, I love stories that flirt with the question of free will versus predestination. Mm. Love them, because I think it's a paradox that's in scripture that we often try to resolve. And how can these two things be true simultaneously? And so I got to catch up and see where it goes with that. But that whole idea of, well, you're off the path and now we have to correct how you got off the path and it's not about your choices anymore. Yeah. It's about us, you know, making up for those and correcting those. And I think there's huge mystery there. And I think for us as believers, on one hand, we pursue God's will and we really do our best to try to seek what he wants for us. But we all do boneheaded things, right? And like, well, I'm pretty sure that wasn't God's will. You know, am I on plan B? Am I on plan C? God says, no, you're in my hands, right? There's forgiveness and there's redemption, which is not to make light of the boneheaded mistakes that we make or when we're just straight out rebellious and we know we're choosing the wrong thing. But God somehow is sort of in a much bigger and better way, like the time variant authority, right? Mm-hmm. He's constantly reshaping the threads as we make a bad choice. And so I love movies that cause and TV that makes me think about that.
Yeah, because of the reality. That's why we can imagine this fantasy. I thought it was really interesting as you look at some of the later episodes that it all leads to something. And you're thinking that it's going to be some godlike creature, when in reality, it's just basically somebody messing with science, which was really interesting. You never know where they're going to go with that or what they're going
unless to. Unless you're a Marvel nerd, and then you know exactly where they're going to go with it.
Well, so, yeah, this is true. That's why this is no spoiler.
Card carrying.
So anything.
So, hey,
Yeah.
So I'm going to take us on a little bit of a left turn because I'm going to give another movie that it's been a minute since I wrote the review and since I saw it, but okay. Let me pull it up. It's called The Adjustment Bureau. Did you see The Adjustment Bureau? It's been probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm going to look it up.
Another one, it's based on Philip K. Dick. So he's always messing with time and free will. You know, there's a bunch of Philip K. Dick stories out there. Actually, 2011, so 10 years ago. But it's another one of these stories that deals with this intersection of free will versus, you know, are you locked into a plan? It stars Matt Damon and Emily Blunt. So if you like that kind of stuff, you could check out our full review on that. And it's another one that... It's PG-13. It's got a little bit of content. It's got some action. It's got some language, but pretty accessible. And I think it really, it's another story that deals with that paradox.
Oh, okay. So if you have been enjoying the whole time messing thing.
Yeah, if you like Loki.
Yeah, you might like this as well. Time it always fascinates me. You know, I'm a crazy Doctor Who fan. I'm a total Whovian geek. Total Whovian geek. So, you know, that kind of thing. Yep, fascinates the little mind here. Anything that we have to look forward to?
Next week, I don't know that we'll look forward to it, but the two movies next week are, well, we'll tell you, is Snake Eyes, which is the G.I. Joe movie, which, again, you probably... already, if you're a G.I. Joe fan, if your brain lights up and dopamine starts exploding in your neurotransmitter, you know you're a G.I. Joe fan.
It's not working.
Because knowing is half the battle. I'm actually excited to think, guys. So maybe it's guys, but I don't want to generalize too much. And then the next M. Night, I can never say his last name, Shyamalan movie, Old, which is about people who go to this beach and it ages them.
Yes, I saw trailers on that.
That looks creepy and interesting. Like his stuff is always sort of a blend of horror and mystery. And so we'll have to see how much it splits that difference. It's been a while since he's had a smash hit. So maybe he's due for a story that really gets into the zeitgeist again. Okay. We'll have to.
Yeah, something we can maybe delve into next week as well. There are some other television shows, like we mentioned Loki. I've been following Monsters at Work. If you like monsters, you will enjoy Monsters at Work. It is really charming, and it is of the same high quality. So very enjoyable. Kudos. Disney does it right. Now, I went to Disney World, and I realized, like, Epcot Center to me, I'm sorry, Disney fans, it was really lame. But
it was really cool in 1987.
It was really cool when I was a kid. It was kind of like, okay, you know, yeah, I could just go to Paris, you know, instead of, you know, look at I feel that way about Las Vegas too. You know, I everyone loves the Venetian and it's painted really wonderfully, but it's like, why not just really go to Venice and see the real thing?
Right. That Plus it's 4,000 degrees Fahrenheit in Las Vegas.
Yes, it is. And
you're like, you know, where can I get a cheap steak and a glass of water right now?
Right now. And you know, and the fact that you don't want to bring kids because you'll walk down the street and they're handing out stripper trading cards. I mean, it's just, it's not my place. Okay. No. If it's yours and you like it, you know, more power to you. But it's just not for me. And I realized that Disney World isn't for me. I think I caught something from a snot-nosed kid on the Frozen ride, but, nonetheless, but
let it go.
Oh, ouch. Oh man, you are in rare form today, but I will say
dad joke a palooza.
It is dad joke. It's in the genes, right? It's in the dad genes.
Right?
I will say Disney does it right where a lot of these series are concerned. They saw us through the pandemic. Good for them. And I couldn't be happier with some of the stuff there.
So I have another one for you. The Mysterious Benedict Society is another Disney Plus series.
Ah, okay.
And I also want to plug something relatively new that we're doing on Plugged In. If you go to our website to the blog, each week we're picking out something over the last month that we really liked. And so each week we do a different category.
Nice.
Plugged In picks. And that's our TV pick over the last month. So next Friday we'll do, you know, the best music or the best movie. And so we just keep rotating through. So you've always got, you know, some recent stuff. If you're looking for the things we review, we're trying to highlight, hey, this is worth checking out. So,
and you know, if you're new
for this week,
movies, TVs, games, TV shows, games, music, books, YouTube channels, some of the blog entries as of recently, 10 best family friendly games you can play with your kids. That's great. That takes a lot of the work out of it. And I appreciate all you do there. Adam Holtz, they're getting us plugged in. He's pretty cool.
This is Adam Holtz.
What could be cooler? I appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure and it's always good to catch up with you and your great sense of humor. And you tell your kids you got your jam on. You definitely got your jam
on.
Well,
I do. I'm like, I don't care if you don't think I'm funny because I think I'm funny. So there you go.
For more fun, go to MyMichelleLive.com.
Like us, share us, and go to MyMichelleLive.com.